The Prime Minister has unveiled a plan to end prosecutions of former soldiers for killings in Northern Ireland. Boris Johnson wants to amend the Human Rights Act so that it does not apply to any incidents before October 2000 when the Act came into force. The Defence Secretary Ben Wallace outlined the plan during an interview on the BBC's Today programme this morning.
Well, I think we took it at our heart the recommendation by the Defence Select Committee, the cross-party group of Parliament with Labour, SNP, DUP and Conservative MPs on, that how did we make sure that soldiers aren't above the law, but vexatious claims don't trigger continued investigations time and time again into the same people? Because that is unfair to our soldiers and people who've gone out to defend us, whether that's in Iraq, Afghanistan or indeed Northern Ireland. And we looked at those recommendations and we think they're very good and strong, especially where there has been a continued sort of exploitation of the difference between international humanitarian law, that is the Geneva Convention, that's the Hague Conventions, and international human rights law, that is ECHR. And those two sort of conflicts have meant that lawyers have often been able to go back to inquests, for example, in Northern Ireland and say, my client, who more often than not is actually a terrorist who was killed in the act of terror, my client was harmed by the state, as opposed to my client happened to have been doing the wrong thing and was dealt with by the state. And that has meant we've had continued repeated inquests going round and round in circles, unfair to men and women of the armed forces. Right. And indeed just becoming, with no clear solution in the end.
Can I just confirm that the existing prosecutions, and obviously for obvious reasons we can't talk about these court cases, but we can say yes or no to this, I guess, existing prosecutions are not included in what you're planning?
No, we recognise the independence of the judiciary and prosecution, and we can't step in now and deal with
those cases
prosecutions.
Are getting okay. Now, so when it comes to future cases, what will change? What are you going to do that allows those cases not to go ahead?
Well, firstly, in events that have happened outside the jurisdiction of the ECHR, such as Afghanistan and Iraq, the government believes there should be a statute of limitations of 10 years unless compelling new evidence comes forward to make sure that we can't have lawyers, as we saw, if you remember, the Phil Shiner character, who I think is now in all sorts of trouble, going out shopping around Iraq and Afghanistan looking for victims.
And in Northern Ireland?
In Northern Ireland, what we're going to do is look at derogating, well, first of all, amending the Human Rights Act to make sure that that conflict I said at the beginning of the interview, the international human rights law conflict with international humanitarian law, can't be exploited.
So hang on. So when you amend the Human Rights Act, then does that apply to everyone who might be involved in these inquests, including paramilitaries, terrorists, or does it only apply to soldiers?
Yeah, I mean, that would apply to everyone insofar as if you want to make a claim that an already investigated crime or already inquest event has taken place, and in some of these inquests, for example, we're into the third or fourth inquest of the same event. If one of these has already taken place and you wish to come back and effectively in some areas abuse our legal system based on new evidence without much specifics, then actually you need to go direct to the European Court in The Hague.
Why is that not then an amnesty for terrorists?
Well, it's not an amnesty. Everyone will still be able to avail themselves of the European Court of Human Rights in The Hague, but what they won't be able to avail themselves of the right is to continually keep going back to our courts in the UK.
There you go, that was the Defence Secretary Ben Wallace. You heard what he said. This, in his view, is not an amnesty. What do you think at home this morning? The phone lines are open. That number again, 030 30 80 55 55. Let's speak now to the Ulster Unionist MLA, Doug Beattie. Good morning to you, Doug.
Morning, Finney.
And the commentator and former Victims Commissioner, Patricia McBride. Good morning to you, Patricia.
Good morning, Finney. Good morning, Doug.
First of all, Patricia, your reaction to this?
Well, the notion of creating some sort of a system where members of the military or the RUC or PSNI are beyond prosecution or beyond the reach of prosecution is something that the Conservative Party has run up the flagpole on multiple occasions, whether backbenchers or select committees or ministers or in this case Boris Johnson. And the reality of the situation is that when they sit down to examine how in practical terms this sort of a process can take place, they're told very quickly that it's not possible under the law. I mean, we can talk all we want about creating a situation where the Human Rights Act doesn't apply to events before 2000 when the Act came into force. But that doesn't amend the criminal law. It doesn't amend criminal responsibility for illegal acts for anyone, regardless of whether they were members of the state forces or members of non-state actors. You know, so the reality is that no matter what the Conservative Party is saying, the ability to put anything into action, it really doesn't exist without creating an amnesty, which is a breach of international human rights law in anyone's book.
Doug Beattie?
Well, I mean, this is the Conservatives running up their manifesto because they want to secure votes from England. And let's face it, for veterans in England and Scotland and in Wales, what happened in Northern Ireland is a long-distant conflict, and they want to forget about it. But in many ways, Patricia is right. You know, Boris and his government promised us before. They promised us in the Queen's speech on the 14th of October. That didn't happen. And they're promising it now, and they're promising it purely to galvanise the veterans community, which is a large community, to get votes for the election. But it is absolutely, no matter which way you call this, presumption before prosecution, statute of limitations, this is an amnesty. And it will apply to the terrorists. Terrorists who are walking our street will now walk our street absolutely free from any chance of prosecution. And if you look at due process, and we're going through due process with the likes of John Downey, where nobody said that he would ever be able to be arrested to be brought before the law, that would not be allowed to happen. So we can't support anything that is giving either moral equivalence between the state forces and the terrorist, or who denies victims the chance of truth and justice. And that's exactly what Boris is proposing here.
One of the main legal issues has been...
Vinny, that's not what the Conservative Party is proposing in this latest round of suggestions. What they're proposing is amending the Human Rights Act. The Human Rights Act is never used to prosecute a murder or an attempted murder or any kind of wounding. So it will not create an amnesty. The proposals that are being brought out today will not stop anyone from being prosecuted under the criminal law. You know, so that's nonsense. I don't know what the Conservative Party thinks that they're selling to veterans, because they're being sold a pop if that's what they think they're getting.
Yeah, and those legal issues that are being highlighted, it's where the international humanitarian law conflicts with the international human rights law. But you're saying now that it's more for show, Patricia McBride?
That won't apply to an individual. That will apply to the state. That will apply to issues around, for example, a lot of the cases that have been subjected to the European Court of Human Rights judgments in relation to the British Army were around Article 2 of the European Convention, where the state failed to investigate. So that's what the state is looking to amend. It is not looking to make any difference for individuals by the proposals that it's bringing out today. That's not going to change anything. And if veterans think that it will, or that it's going to create an amnesty for anyone, whether they were state or non-state actors, then they're being misinformed. They're misinterpreting what's being said today.
So you've got it wrong, Doug Beattie.
Well, I'm looking at the legislation they're intending to bring in, which is called presumption before prosecution. And if they bring it in and they use it in the case of soldiers, and it works in a court, through legislation, then it opens case law for everybody to apply that same presumption before prosecution. So that will allow the terrorists to apply that same presumption before prosecution. Now, we can dress the language up all we want, and I guess Patricia is right when we say this isn't declared as an amnesty. But if we have that case law in place, then it will allow people to exploit that case law and will stop them being prosecuted under that, all because we brought in a presumption before prosecution. And I don't support that either. What I do support is the rule of law, and nobody is above the rule of law. And that is, if there is evidence, then we should investigate. And if it reaches the judicial threshold for prosecution, then we should prosecute. I think that's the way it should happen. It should happen for everybody, be you a soldier, a policeman, a member of the public or a politician. I've always said it, I'll continue to say it.
That's exactly what Ben Wallace said this morning, Patricia McBride, the Defence Secretary. He's saying this in terms of it being for specific people, individual level, that it would stop continued investigations time and time again into the same people.
Well, and what that means in effect is For example, the Bloody Sunday families, it would stop the prosecutions of soldiers because there has already been a public inquiry in the Ballymurphy case if new evidence is brought to light as a result of the inquest proceedings, then no prosecutions could follow. Now, that is ripe for legal challenge if that's what the government is intending to bring forward. And Doug is right. If it's, you know, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, and it could be applied across the board, but it's not workable legally. And that's why, you know, the best thing to do is to look at the proposals that have been put in place to address the needs of victims and survivors and make those processes robust.
Okay.
Because the best chance that victims and survivors have for truth and justice is through the Stormont House arrangements that have been, you know, on the table for so long and have just been ignored.
Let's go to the phones. Jenny in Belfast. Good morning, Jenny.
Oh, hi, Vinny. I really think we all need to move on here. There's no point in prosecuting absolutely anybody. These people are old. And, you know, if you have a man like that priest, he's a sociopath. He doesn't care less. He won't care if he's punished. And anyone who's murdered anyone and is like that, then it doesn't matter if you prosecute them.
How do you try and sell that to victims or their families?
Well, we all need to move on now. And people are in a certain place. And it's terrible what happened to people. But let's look to the future. Because I really think if we start prosecuting people now, we're dragging it up. Yeah. We're dragging it up.
Can I ask, Jenny, with respect, were you ever impacted your family or yourself directly by the Troubles?
Not directly, personally, no.
So you'll understand why some people that might be listening that were, maybe they lost a loved one, they will find that very difficult to swallow and will think they're right to seek justice and to want justice as they see it through the courts.
But, Jenny, do you not think it's just time? Now, there's a few, like, small fractions of people, you know, trying to make trouble again, and we don't want that. We all really have to move on from this situation. We have to let go. We have to look to the future and not to the past. And I am really sorry for people that have lost and they've been in tragic situations. But, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money, and it's going to cost a lot of heartache and a lot of anger and bitterness in our community.
Well, Doug Beattie, there will be others that feel the same way that Jenny does. They simply want to draw a line under the past and move on.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess it's a fair conversation, Vinny, and I've had this with many people on many occasions, and they're being very genuine when they say that it's right to possibly draw a line under the sand. What I'm saying is that I do not believe that is the case. I believe that we should have law and order processes here in Northern Ireland, and we should not forego them. And every time somebody suggests something, it's always the victim that has to give here. It's never the perpetrator that has to give. The victims are always the ones who have to suffer once, suffer twice, suffer three times. How many times do they have to suffer? We know already now have a Stormont House Agreement legacy mechanism agreed by the DUP in Sinn Féin, which will see 40,000 victims, people who are limbless, blind, burned, psychologically damaged, who will not even get an investigation, who will be absolutely ignored. Yet the same process will spend time, effort and money investigating the RUC for non-criminal misconduct. Now, that's morally perverse. And I just do not understand it. So I cannot agree with the HIU either. What I do believe is that our PSNI should be investigating all crimes, past, present, and future trends. And the money that we've set aside for legacy should be given to the PSNI and resource them properly so that they can look at these crimes. And they investigate them in exactly the same way we investigated in the United Kingdom. If evidence comes to light, they open an investigation.
Okay, well, Doug, Jenny mentioned money in terms of what this could cost. Yeah. So you referred to those 40,000 cases, so crimes, attacks, incidents. You know, where would the money come from to investigate all of those, and how long would that take?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long it's going to take, Vinny, is the answer to that one. And I'm not sure time is something that we should factor in here. If there's evidence, whether it's a 50-year-old crime or whether it's a 10-year-old crime, then we should put the money in. Bearing in mind, we spent time, effort, money chasing after people for war crimes during the Second World War, and we would still do that today. So I don't think time has got any...
I understand the point you're making, but if you're calling for these investigations to be undertaken, then surely you've got some idea perhaps how much it would cost and, again, where that money would come from. We are never done talking about how tight things are in terms of finances. Yeah. So, you know, it's one thing calling for something, but if it's not, say, for example, financially possible, it doesn't go much further.
Well, you're absolutely right, Vinny. And you know, I would love to be sitting here saying I've got all the answers to the costing issue, and I can't forecast 5 or 10 or 15 years from now. I mean, we're actually working on a budget which is only 12 months at a time, but £150 million has already been set aside for legacy as a contribution from the UK government. I think that needs to be an enduring contribution from the UK government, because the UK government have got a stake in this. So they need to pay into this, and we also need to put money in as well. So that £150 million is the starter. There needs to be more money from the government. It's okay. As simple as that. And yes, people will say, goodness, I don't want to keep paying for this forever. But that's a reality of justice, and that's a reality what our people deserve.
Jenny, persuade you at all?
I don't agree with that. No, not at all. You know, our economy's in a mess at the moment. We need to get everything up and running. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that we all have a choice in life, and we should all choose very wisely. And my wife's choice would be, you know, to let go of the past and to move forward and look at the future and embrace the good things. Because can I ask, you know, if the victims get these trials and everything dragged up, what are they actually going to get at the end of it?
I get what you're saying in terms of
everyone.
Hold on a wee second. I get what you're saying in terms of the choice, Jenny. But many will say most victims did not have a choice to be a victim. So therefore, you know, you're saying people can decide. They didn't have the chance, the option to decide.
Is it going to make their life better?
Possibly. That's not for me to say, but possibly if they felt like they had justice. Patricia, you wanted to respond there.
Yeah, for Jenny and for others who would say, you know, victims should move on and, you know, we should draw a line in the sand and put the past behind us, let me just draw a comparison for a moment here. This afternoon, victims of historical institutional abuse will be meeting the head of the civil service to discuss the terms of a compensation scheme that they have fought for many, many years. Those individuals didn't choose to be victimised. Those who have lost loved ones who were injured or severely injured psychologically and physically as a result of the conflict, most of them, as you said, Vinny, didn't choose to be in those circumstances. So why should we say to one group of victims, we'll continue, albeit late and slow and not robustly enough, why should we say to one group of victims, we will address your needs, but to another, you need to draw a line in the sand and move on for the good of our society? Would it be for the good of our society to forget about historical institutional abuse? Our society has a role to help those who have been victimised, who have been marginalised, who have been forgotten about, regardless of what happened to them in the past. And that is what we need to do. We need to come together and support people. We need to put in place processes that are victim-centred, that are around meeting needs, and that are around healing our society. Remember, we are still in a process of peace building. We are not at the end of that process by a long, long way. And part of that process needs to be about acknowledging the hurt and pain that has happened within this society. And that's why we cannot just draw the line.
Okay.
I don't agree with that.
Well, Jenny,
I think you're dragging it on.
Yeah, and you've made that point already. Teresa, just before you go, Jenny, Teresa wants to talk to you. Teresa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinny.
Yes,
in response to the previous comment.
Yes, Jenny's still there. You can talk to her.
Jenny, all human beings have a conscience and are responsible and accountable for their behaviour in life, regardless of the passing years. Do we live in a lawless society today? Good morning.
All right, Teresa, thank you. Jenny, thank you as well. Let's speak now to the former commander of the British forces in Afghanistan, Colonel Richard Kemp. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Amnesty is that word that's been passed around this morning. Some believe this is simply an amnesty, that these changes to the laws would include all, so paramilitaries could also benefit as a result.
Well, the main point that I believe, from what I understand of these proposals, is that we're talking about not dragging up very, very old allegations that have already been thoroughly investigated, some of these things going back half a century, think about it, that have already been investigated and for which there is no new evidence. And the reality is this is being looked at now in a different political era. And a different emphasis is being put on what happened. Back in those days when these incidents occurred, they were investigated in the context of the time. The whole purpose of the current, what I would consider to be a vendetta against former soldiers and police officers, is that Sinn Féin has been driving this because they want to rewrite history. They want their terrorists to be seen as freedom fighters and British forces to be seen as vicious oppressors, which of course is the exact opposite of what the reality was. Now, I believe if there is new evidence in relation to specific allegations, then of course that must be investigated, and if necessary, people brought to trial. I don't think we should be talking about an amnesty as such, but I do believe that it's wrong to have what I see these days as basically political trials.
Doug Beattie,
can I just come in there?
Yes.
Richard Kemp actually read Dr. Patricia Lundy's research on the investigations that were undertaken by the Royal Military Police of killings that were attributable to members of the British Army? Because that research was very, very clear, and the findings of that research were very, very clear that those were not robust investigations, and that's why the historical inquiries team had to re-examine those cases, because they were not properly investigated in the past. So whether or not it's a different political context to say that something has been investigated in the past when we know and it has been accepted by government that it hasn't been properly investigated in the past, it's complete
okay,
bullshit.
Let's let Richard respond to that.
Well, I don't know who that was speaking.
That's
there,
Patricia McBride. She's one of our commentators this morning, a former victims commissioner as well.
Okay, well, the fact is that she talks about investigations by the Royal Military Police. The vast majority of these allegations were investigated by the Royal Ulster Constabulary, not just the Royal Military Police, although the Military Police also conducted investigations. But, you know, the fact that she is quoting somebody who has an opinion that they were not valid. They were valid at the time. They were held to be valid by the government and by society at the time. And it's just, you know, as I say, today is a different political world where we've got a political
Patricia
drive.
Research
we've got a political drive by Sinn Féin to turn the security forces into something they weren't, which is to turn them into the oppressors. Yes, mistakes were made. Of course mistakes were made and bad things were done. By security forces on some occasion. A great deal of that was due to the confusion, the pressures and the stresses of the situation. And it was seen, I believe, in that light at the time when investigated. Now, it's very difficult for people to see things in the reality of what was happening at the time 50 years later. The fact is that I'm not a lawyer, I would guess from my understanding of what happened that probably very few or none of these investigations will result in convictions at this very long distance afterwards. It's almost impossible, I think, to convict people. So what you will have, in fact, is purely show trials for soldiers and police officers to be seen to be dragged through the courts for the political benefits of Sinn Féin and the IRA.
Patricia?
Well, Patricia Lundy's research isn't an opinion. It was accepted by the government.
It's not a fact. How can it be a fact?
The historical inquiries team investigation processes as a result of that. But the fact remains, I agree with Richard Kemp on the issue that securing prosecutions will become more and more problematic the longer the time passes. But that does not mean that should evidence exist, those prosecutions shouldn't proceed. The whole point is that if evidence exists, there's a duty of responsibility on the Director of Public Prosecutions to proceed with a criminal trial in the cases of murder or attempted murder or wounding. So you cannot abdicate from that responsibility to ensure that the due process of law is implemented across the board where the evidence exists.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Brian in West Belfast. Good morning, Brian.
I've lost track of what I wanted to say. I'm listening to this, the gentleman speaking there now. He said, yes, certainly mistakes were made.
That's Colonel Richard Kemp.
Well, he said, I'm a pensioner. I've lived through the troubles. And I know what the soldiers did here. And there's a list of incidents where soldiers have shot people dead. In the back, for instance, I can't name all, but I can't I'll know of them. But
are you concerned? Some are, Brian, are saying this will basically open up an amnesty because anyone could partake in the changes in the law that would include paramilitaries. Are you concerned about that?
Well, I've always had this view that anybody who does wrong, no matter who they are, no matter what side they come from, there's a due process here of what happens. You're brought to court, convicted, and you do your time or whatever. Now, I mean, I'll say this to the colonel, that see the things that happened here with the soldiers, it would never happen in England. Would never, never happen in England.
Doug Beattie, before you go, you're a former armed service personnel. You're a former captain, mm-hmm. and you completely disagree with Colonel Richard Kemp.
No, I don't completely disagree with Colonel Richard Kemp, a man who I have great respect for. There's many things of what he has said that I totally agree with. Where we probably differ slightly is that if we bring in this legislation before presumption before prosecution, it will lead to equivalence between the state forces and the terrorists, because they will use case law to not face trial. That's where we differ.
Let's just let Doug finish his point first.
I have a concern about that, and I've said this already, that the people who should be investigating are the PSNI, and they should investigate when evidence comes to light. What they should not be doing is just going through a chronological order investigation of every single case, even if it's been done before and there's no further evidence. That is what is being proposed here, and I'm absolutely against that. So the PSNI should investigate if there's new evidence, and that's the way we should take this forward. And there cannot be any moral equivalence in any shape or form between the terrorist and the state forces. We are so different. It just can't be seen.
Richard?
Yeah, well, I agree with pretty much what Doug is saying there. One of your callers just now was made the comment that, you know, that he lived through the Troubles and saw what the British forces did out here. I also lived.
But that was Brian. He's still on the line there.
Right. Well, I also lived through the Troubles. I served 8 operational tours of duty in Northern Ireland. I saw what the troops did, and in the vast majority of cases,
I seen what they did too.
So did I, and I also saw what the terrorists did and what the people supporting the terrorists did and the horrific conditions under which British soldiers were fighting in Northern Ireland. It was actually, a lot of the time in a lot of the places, it was actually pretty much a war. And you say it couldn't happen like that in the UK. It would happen wherever it occurred, because when soldiers are fighting a war, they themselves are frightened a lot of the time. They're living under enormous stress. They see their mates blown apart. They have to deal with terrorists who set out day in and day out to murder, maim and blow things up, and vast numbers of population who are supporting them, sometimes coercively supporting them, but intimidating soldiers. And soldiers are working under those conditions. It's not surprising that occasionally mistakes will be made. The investigations that occurred at the time will have taken that into account in a way that the current investigations and any current legal action is probably not going to be able to take into account in the same way. And the lady who was saying, I think Patricia it was, who was saying that the government has accepted the findings of the person that investigated the way in which these cases were dealt with before. Well, the government has, because the government is working under pretty tight constraints of the Human Rights Act, and also is very keen to appease Sinn Féin.
All right, Colonel Richard Kemp, thank you very much.